are Locked On NBA, your daily NBA podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On NBA on a Tuesday, everybody. I'm Wes Goldberg from the Mercury News and host of Locked On Warriors here with the host of Locked On Heat, David Ramil. And on today's show, the Pelicans get a big win over the Jazz. The Knicks may actually be good, and the Nets won in overtime against the Spurs. But we begin today in Atlanta, where the Hawks have fired their head coach, Lloyd Pierce, after two-plus seasons. Pierce was facing mounting pressure to make the playoffs, but had the Hawks at 14-20 and 11th place in the East before he was fired. They were coming off of a loss to the Heat on Sunday, in which they blew a fourth-quarter lead for the 11th time this season. But the Hawks have also been dealing with injuries, especially to veterans like Danilo Gallinari, Chris Dunn, and Bogdan Bogdanovic, who could have helped a young core. David, did Pierce deserve to get fired, or is he just the victim of unfair expectations?
I'm not sure if deserve is the right word, but I also don't think he was just a victim. I think it was a combination of different factors where there were these unfair expectations and also mounting pressure on a franchise that has had so little success over the last, I don't know what, decade? Aside from their one Eastern Conference run, you know, with that all-star team of talented players, they really have not had a lot of great success, a lot of winning, in Atlanta. They have had a problem attracting fans. Now all of a sudden they retool this team. They bring in a lot of players. They've got a young all-star in Trae Young, and they can't seem to quite figure it out. And I think, look, the injuries played a huge part of this team's problems this season. I think you also had to take into consideration the fact that Pierce may not have exactly had as good a grip on that locker room as at least it seemed externally. I've seen some reports where maybe there was friction between him and Young, and if that's the case, you're going to cater to your franchise all-star because he's young and because it's a lot easier to fire a coach and replace him, especially when you've got Nate McMillan waiting in the wings. So it's a really tough situation there for both the franchise and for Pierce. I think he did everything he possibly could. Maybe he could have done things a little bit better, but that would have been a sacrifice of his own personal values, and without the kind of talent available to him on a nightly basis, it's just hard to kind of sustain any success. This season has been so crazy. I feel like they pulled the trigger a little bit too quickly for my taste, but it certainly was a much easier decision when you've got McMillan already there waiting in the wings.
Yeah, like you said, McMillan takes over as interim coach. I thought the biggest injury to that, I mean, Bogdan Bogdanovic missed something like 25 games. I mean, he was the big guy, right?
Yeah.
Like Danilo Gallinari, Rajon Rondo, Chris Dunn, those were nice bit pieces, but Bogdanovic was really supposed to be the second scorer, the second playmaker next to Trae Young. But DeAndre Hunter was having a really nice year for them in January before he went down. He's missed something like 16 games now, right, with his injury. And that his two-way play was so key. And he had basically become their best perimeter stopper, right? And part of the reason why the Hawks have been so bad and in just this free fall has been because they have been just in the basement defensively, in defensive rating. So that was tough. But you mentioned Trae Young there a few times. You talk about how, you know, if you're going to cater to somebody, it's going to be Trae Young because he's your franchise player. And undoubtedly he is for Atlanta. But there is a bigger question for the Hawks, and that's if Trae Young is someone who they can truly build a contender around. You hear all this stuff from Travis Schlenk, the GM there, who ultimately made this decision. And he said, you know what, the injuries are just not an excuse. We haven't progressed to the rate that we wanted to. We are a playoff team. He always talks that this is a playoff team. And maybe that's so. I still think the Hawks will end up being better in the second half of the year. Kevin Pelton had some nice stats after the firing, talking about how they've lost so many close games in February and that should, by the end of the year, smooth out. And they should be a little bit better than they are right now. But back to Trae Young, if you're really truly building around him, you have to ask yourself if he's really the kind of player that you can contend for a championship with, because the trade deadline is coming up. They have this John Collins decision that they have to make.
Right.
And David, honestly, I don't know that as good as he's been this year, I don't know that he is somebody who you can build around, right? And I do wonder if ultimately this should come down to Travis Schlenk and his job security, because Trae Young, to me, best case scenario is Kyrie Irving. And we saw how that worked in Boston when Kyrie Irving is your best player. I don't know that he is a player that you can build around to win a championship.
That's all fair. But he's also the closest thing they've had in a long time, right? I can't recall the other past stars that they've had in recent era. Even that team that had so much success with Mike Budenholzer at the helm was always, you know, they were just a really solid cast that always played above expectations. Al Horford was arguably their best player, even Paul Millsap. All those guys were really solid, but not necessarily spectacular. And Young, at least you have the spectacular, not necessarily the solid. So he's the closest thing you have as far as that high variance for a potential star in the making. Maybe he's not the right guy, and I don't think he is either, to be honest with you, but he's the closest thing you've had. And those kind of players are so hard to acquire from any kind of means whatsoever. They have not been a kind of, typically anyway, a franchise that can lure free agents. This past season was as close as they've ever gone, too. So they're trending upwards. I mean, at least you can sell potential future free agents on, you know, the fact that Young is an all-star, that he is there, and then maybe you can get some kind of stability here. It's a tough question to ask, and I'm not sure that there's any clear answers there. You're not going to trade Young. I think he's your biggest selling point at this point in time, and if that's the case, then you're kind of stuck with him and hope that he continues to trend in the right direction. Maybe McMillan can reach out to him and connect with him in a way that Pierce could not. I don't know if they were butting heads, or maybe there were some stylistic issues there. But look, I mean, to your point also, like, now all of a sudden this team is going to start trending in the positive direction. They're going to win more games. They're going to get everybody back healthy, and all of a sudden they're going to win much, and everybody's going to say, oh yeah, firing Pierce was the right move. But this would have happened with Pierce at the helm anyway, wouldn't it? I mean, I just feel like this is going to be so unfair.
You would think so.
Yeah, it's just...
No, you would think so. And look, Pierce is going to find some... He's well-respected in the NBA coaching circles. He'll be an assistant, you know, whenever it is that he decides that he wants to be an assistant. And he might just decide to sit this thing out and then coach in the Olympics, because he's still part of that staff. So we'll see how that turns out for him. But now the attention goes to me, to Travis Schlenk, because we talking around this Trae Young thing. He passed up Luka Doncic Trae Young. Yeah. And we know that Luka is the type of player that you can win a championship with. I think we're all, certainly we're more confident in Luka being that sort of player than Trae Young.
Yes.
And so Travis Schlenk, I mean, we've seen this, you see this across all sports, right? The head coach goes, the only guy left after that is the GM. And you look at the things that Schlenk did. If Schlenk doesn't want to give Lloyd Pierce the benefit of the doubt with these injuries, then why should we be giving Travis Schlenk the benefit of that with these injuries? Because we could turn to him and be like, hey, your offseason signings didn't work out. And he could say, well, they were all injured. It's like, well, that didn't count when you fired Lloyd Pierce. Why should it count for you?
Right.
And again, he passed up Luka Doncic for Trae Young. These other, I mentioned DeAndre Hunter. He's starting to come around, but I don't know that he's going to be worth the fourth overall, trading up to the fourth overall pick to get him. I mean, is he going to be the next Kawhi Leonard like you envisioned? I would bet that the case would be no. And so I don't know if, and you know, the John Collins decision is going to be a big one in determining the future of this team. You gave up assets to go get Clint Capella, who's been nice for you, but we don't know if he can play at a high level, because we saw that happen, play out in Houston, and it didn't quite work. And so I have a lot of questions with how this roster is built, and it sort of feels to me like Lloyd Pierce was a little bit of the scapegoat here.
Yes.
And now it's Travis Schlenk who is going to be on the hot seat if things really go south going forward.
I'll say this, the Collins decision and what happens with that could be the deciding factor in Schlenk's future, because how he handles it. If he's able to trade Collins and get something back and valuable in return that helps this team with their playoff push, then he saves the season. All of a sudden, he buys himself a little bit of time. If he muffs it completely, he doesn't re-sign Collins, loses him for nothing in restricted free agency, or Collins just winds up regressing to the kind of player that he has been at times in the past, then all of a sudden that makes him look really bad, and I could see him getting fired at some time during the offseason, that's for sure.
The Pelicans get a statement win over the Jazz. That's coming up next, and we'll also talk about if Zion Williamson has made the superstar turn. But first, David, tell our listeners about Theragun.
Don't let the stress of daily life weigh on your body. Whether you're an elite athlete or just someone like me, just trying to make it through the day tension-free, then Theragun can help. Theragun is a handheld percussive therapy device that releases your deepest muscle tension using a scientifically calibrated combo of depth, speed, and power, and it's as quiet as an electric toothbrush. The Gen 4 Theragun doesn't just feel good, it gets to the source of the pain by releasing tension using Theragun's signature percussive therapy, which goes 60% deeper than vibration alone. Whether you want to treat your muscle tension from working out, or you have an injury, or just the stresses of everyday life, there's no substitute for the Theragun Gen 4. Theragun is trusted trusted by 250 professional sports teams like Real Madrid and real elite athletes like Paul George, DeAndre Hopkins, Maria Sharapova, hundreds of thousands of customers, and me. So try Theragun for 30 days starting at just $199. Go to Theragun.com/lockedon right now and get your Gen 4 Theragun today. That's Theragun.com/lockedon. Theragun.com/lockedon. With an ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's impossible to stock all the parts you might need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure pointless or intimidating questioning while the person behind the counter orders the parts you're looking for on their computer, choosing only the brand their warehouse happens to carry? You've got computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Rockauto.com is a family-owned business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. You can choose from hundreds of manufacturers on their easy-to-use site, and you'll get everything you need with just a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Why would you spend more for the exact same parts at a chain store or car dealership? RockAuto.com's low prices are the same for everybody. So go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Then go to the section that says, "How did you hear about us?" and write "Locked On" so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car or truck will ever need. That's RockAuto.com.
Get more of the sports news you need in less time with our new Locked On Today podcast. Peter Bukowski hosts a breakdown of the biggest stories with analysis from our local experts. Start your day with all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get podcasts. The Pelicans got a huge win over the Jazz, winning 129-124 in New Orleans on Monday. And Zion Williamson was terrific. 26 points on 10-for-17 shooting, 10 rebounds and 5 assists. His clutch free throws and defensive rebound at the end iced the win for the Pelicans, who beat a Jazz team with the best record in the NBA. For Zion, it was more of the same from his fierce month of February, where he averaged 27 points on 65% shooting. David, it was a slow start for Zion at the season, but he's been unstoppable over the last dozen or so games. Has he made the full superstar turn in your mind?
I thought he'd already been there, to be honest with you. I don't know. It's kind of hard to gauge that. I've always had some issue with the term superstar and how it's utilized. I mean, that's a pretty open description of some players, according to some people. They toss that word around a little haphazardly for my taste. But I think with, you know, Zion, the issue is still on the defensive end. And that's one of the defining characteristics, at least to me, is that you have to be able to alter the course of a game, both offensively and defensively. And he is so much of a one-sided player at this point in his career, although I think there's potential for him to improve defensively. Like, yes, as an offensive player, he's an incredibly gifted talent. And I think he's as exciting to watch as any player the league has seen in a long time. But that doesn't necessarily make him a complete and total superstar, in my opinion.
Well, to me, what he's doing at the rim, with the ease with which he is getting shots, I mean, there were times against Utah where he was just barreling through Rudy Gobert as if he were just Jason Terry. Like, just nothing in front of him. And that's Rudy Gobert, Defensive Player of the Year.
Sure.
Huge human, Rudy Gobert. And you see something like that, and you're just like, who else in the league is doing that? Nobody. The answer is nobody. LeBron James, at 36 years old, MVP caliber player, obviously better than Zion, but he's not doing that. Even Giannis isn't doing it that way. He's jumping over Rudy Gobert. He's doing things like he's Euro-stepping around Rudy Gobert. But Zion is just simply muscling Rudy Gobert, and Rudy Gobert is going flying past the stanchion. And so his ability to just go get a bucket, like, we're seeing things right now in this regular season, and again, over the last 12 or 13 games, his numbers have just been out of this world. The efficiency numbers, over 60% shooting. What he's doing near the rim has never really been done before.
Yeah.
When you look at all the advanced metrics, and that's the sort of thing that translates to the playoffs. And if the Pelicans can make a push here over the second half of the season and get into the postseason, at least just the play-in tournament in the Western Conference, I would not want to be the team facing New Orleans in that context.
So has he made the superstar turn, according to you?
I think I'm there, and that's a complete turnaround for me, David, because it was only a couple weeks ago before he went on this hot stretch that I called him Corn Pops in our Cereal or Not Cereal segment. I call it promising and yet disappointing.
That's right. That's right.
He's not Corn Pops anymore. I mean, he's just the creme de la creme of cereals at this point. I mean, he's just full-blown Honey Nut Cheerios Frosted Flakes.
Wow.
Like, you know, Cinnamon Toast Crunch levels of excitement and bang for your buck at this point.
That's pretty excellent. That is impressive. I just, I mean, you have concerns about him as a defensive player, right? There are just moments where like he just seems lost on the court. And for somebody as gifted physically as he is, he should be able to have a little bit more of a presence on the defensive end. And so that's why I just have a hard time separating.
But he looks better running down the floor than he did earlier in the season, right? I mean, it wasn't concerning. Like, I remember at the beginning of the year, I was concerned about his health and
his conditioning
and the weight and all that stuff. It's not as bad anymore. So you'd think, right, that he'd play himself into better shape, and with that, you know, the defensive stuff would come along.
It hasn't yet, but maybe there's that potential later on this season. I mean, look, we're still kind of rushing him along here. It's only been his second season, and then all of that is interrupted by the long hiatus last year and you know, the Orlando bubble, and this is the strangest season in NBA history. So, like, it's hard to kind of peg him exactly as to what kind of player he'll be down the road. Right now, he's young enough where he's good enough where he can start at least being entered into this conversation as a superstar, and you hope to see at least a little bit more positive uptick there on the defensive end.
Another loss for the Jazz. They were the hottest team in the NBA. What do you think this loss means for them?
Well, clearly they're frauds. I mean, now I don't want to alienate half our listenership here, but I think they've got some issues. They look like such a great team, and you can chuck it all to maybe meeting the wrong teams at the wrong time. Like, the Heat are in the midst of a six-game win streak. The Pelicans are you know, trending positively, so maybe it's thrown things off for them. They're going up against the Philadelphia 76ers in a couple of games. That could be a true test for them. I don't know. Like, you know, Mike Conley Jr. and Donovan Mitchell both shot 33% on the night. And while you have to give credit to Lonzo Ball and Eric Bledsoe for defending them pretty closely, like, those two offensive players should be able to figure it out a little bit more effectively. So you still have concerns. I really like this Jazz team. I think between the combination of their overall team defense, their great shooting and everything else, they're really, really solid. As far as the roster composition and the quality of play up and down the roster, I like their depth. I like their ability to defend at a high level. Certainly, they've been scoring very well too. But I mean,
I'm not taking them seriously as a title contender.
Yeah,
and even
it feels reductive though, right? Like, it's just like I can't help but say, you know, this conversation that we've had about the Bucks for so many years, like, oh, they got to prove it in the playoffs. Right now, they could just be a very good regular season team, and I don't know if that's enough to discount them as a good team just yet. But I have concerns about whether or not they'll be able to translate this level of success in the playoffs.
You mentioned Lonzo Ball there I want to give him a quick shout out. He has been awesome through the month of February, and he was awesome again against the Jazz tonight. Through the month of February, 16.5 points per game on 46% three-point shooting, 5.5 assists per game. That three-point shot has really come around. It's up from 33.8% at the beginning of the season. So nice to see Lonzo Ball making the turn there as
well. Are the Pelicans buyers or sellers at the trade market?
I have no idea. That defense still isn't where you want it to be, but they, according to these reports, they're more in the mode of acquiring draft picks than they are players at this point. Yeah. And they view themselves as in an arms race with the Oklahoma City Thunder as far as draft capital is going. But they are the team, right, that if they have all this draft capital, because they still have all that stuff from the Anthony Davis trade, they have a bunch of young players like Lonzo and Brandon Ingram, and there's still long-term questions about them with Zion. They're one of these teams that if Bradley Beal or another superstar comes on the market, they've got the goods to go ahead and make a move. But let's move on to a close one in San Antonio between the Nets and the Spurs. The Spurs used a 10-0 run at the end of regulation, capped by DeJounte Murray's incredible jumper after fumbling the ball at the buzzer to force overtime. But the Spurs, behind James Harden and Kyrie Irving, with Kevin Durant still sidelined until after the All-Star break, won the game in overtime to avoid a disastrous loss. The Nets have now won 9 of their last 10. They've done it, like I said, without KD. That said, they almost let a lead slip away to a Spurs team on Monday, but ended up easily taking it in overtime. Little confusing of a game, David. Did that game make you more or less confident in these Nets?
Neither, really. I feel like there's questions, the same ones that have dogged this team all season long, even before they acquired James Harden. It's like, you knew they were going to be potent scoring-wise. That they still have issues defensively isn't really much of a surprise. So I just, like, one of the things that stood out to me, and I texted you about this, is that I feel like they just don't have the defensive score. While you have three guys that can fit the bill offensively in KD, Irving, and Harden, who can get you that bucket in a clutch situation, who's the guy who's going to get you that stop? Who's going to force a turnover? Who's going to get a
block? Well, it would be Kevin Durant, right?
And theoretically. Right. Yeah. I mean, maybe he's that guy. But either way, I don't know. I don't know if he's as reliable at this point coming off the injury as he has been in years past. He's certainly not the Golden State version of that defensive player that we saw. But so there are issues there. I feel like they are also going to try and figure him out in one way, and there's certainly going to be players in the buyout market. And until then, they're just going to continue to beat the opponents over the head with their scoring. So they've got enough there to compete for a title. I still think that's the case anyway.
I do too. The only thing that made me pause against the Spurs was right before DeJounte Murray's, miraculous shot to force overtime, James Harden and Kyrie Irving both had an opportunity on the Nets' last possession to go ahead and ice the game and just put it, to go up by two possessions and just end it. And neither of them could. James Harden couldn't make his shot. Kyrie Irving missed a shot right at the rim, a shot that he normally would make.
Yeah.
Isn't that, like you mentioned, you're in. Because you don't have the defense, you're going to rely on your offense. Isn't that exactly what you built this team to be? Is to go ahead, when push comes to shove, you have so much scoring on the floor that no defense will be able to match up with you. And sure, they were without KD, I get it. But you still had a 10-point lead at the end of that game. And you still had James Harden and Kyrie Irving on the floor. And you still got them. Both of them still got a shot to go ahead and win that game in regulation. And they just couldn't do it. That did make me pause a little bit because that is exactly what you built this team to be, and they couldn't get it done against the Spurs. But then in overtime, they went ahead and just wiped the floor with them, and it was not even close in overtime.
Maybe so it was a wake-up call then that they were able to score at the end of regulation.
Yeah. David, let's get to the other scores from Monday night.
Nikola Jokic had 39 points, 14 rebounds, and 9 assists to lead the Nuggets to a 118-112 win over the Chicago Bulls.
Let's go to Orlando where the Mavericks beat the Magic 130-124. Here's more from Locked On Mavericks.
Nick Angstead of the Locked On Mavericks podcast here, and the Dallas Mavericks get the win over the Orlando Magic. They take care of business, but the story of this game is defense. Still, the Dallas Mavericks cannot stop anybody. They're a turnstile on defense. The Orlando Magic have a 106 offensive rating, and in this one, the Mavericks allowed 122 points per 100 possessions. That's not good. It's awful. Terrible. Mavericks defense has to get better. Kristaps Porzingis also had a very interesting first half, missed 6 threes that he took, and then the second half kind of picked that up, finished 17-10. Didn't play in the last couple minutes of the game, so we're still monitoring that situation. Luka Doncic still doing Luka Doncic things. There's a couple of passes that he makes where he drives in the lane and then throws a behind the back, like leave it for the guy behind him, and it's just absolutely incredible. The vision that he has at such a young age, just turned 22 years old, he's incredible. We'll have more for you on the Locked On Mavericks podcast.
With their loss to the Sixers in Philly, the Pacers are reeling. Here's more from Locked On Pacers.
Pacers lose to the 76ers 130-114. I'm Tony East, one of the hosts of Locked On Pacers, here to break it down. And really, not a lot to break down. The Pacers just kind of suck right now. It's their second four-game losing streak in a month. They've won 3 of their last 12. They're 15-18 now. Outside of the playoff picture in the East, barely hanging around in the play-in scenarios right now. The Pacers just stink right now.
Coming up, should you believe in the Knicks? But first, David, tell our listeners about BetOnline.
BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards and TV shows and reality TV. You could have placed bets on the Golden Globes. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. And don't forget to use that promo code LOCKEDON.
Cade Cunningham, Evan Mobley, Jalen Suggs. How much do you really know about these potential NBA stars of tomorrow? If you want to know more, you need to subscribe to the Locked On NBA Draft Podcast. Prospect scouting reports, draft rumors, mock drafts, and full coverage of March Madness. 4 days a week from credentialed draft experts. Subscribe today and follow Locked On NBA Draft.
Now it's time for everybody's favorite game, Play On or Blow This Whistle. Joakim Noah is effectively retiring, a source tells Shams Charania over at The Athletic. Play on or blow the whistle, Wes?
Play on. Victor Oladipo recently turned down a two-year, $45.2 million maximum contract extension from the Rockets per ESPN. David, play on or blow the whistle?
I guess we have to blow the whistle on this. It's interesting that he feels he's worth more out on the market. I think is drawing up almost on a daily occurrence. Like you're watching him struggle for any kind of consistency, and really you're just – if you're pinning all your hopes, as Oladipo seems to be, on his one successful season in the NBA, that's really taking a chance on yourself. And look, I love Depot. I feel like there's great potential there. But between all the injuries, the fact that he's been pretty consistently inconsistent over the course of his career, like you're looking at one all-star level season in Indiana and the rest marred by injuries. Before that, it was trying to figure out how to play alongside Russell Westbrook in Oklahoma City. He couldn't be the lead player in Orlando. I don't know what you to do if you're Oladipo, but I don't know why he wouldn't take that money if he could get it.
Yeah, and the idea, at least from the report, is that he wants a long-term contract, right? And that's agent's positioning for him. He's
good luck.
I would be shocked if he got a long-term contract, right? And, you know, the Miami Heat are a team that have long been interested in Victor Oladipo, but that was kind of a thing a year or two ago, right?
Yeah, I don't think that's the case
anymore.
That rumor
it's not the case anymore. And look, maybe Miami, if there's any team that could turn Victor Oladipo around, I think it would be the Heat. You put him in that culture, you get him to buy into their conditioning and all that kind of stuff, they would be able to get that. Because with Victor Oladipo, we're just talking about his body breaking down, right? And there's some efficiency things that are concerning, but once that body gets together and once he gets healthy, you would think that other stuff would come along. Maybe he's not all pro level like he was once in Indiana, but you would think he would be better than what he is right now in Houston. But that would be a one-year experiment, right? If you're Miami or something like a one-year deal and some sort of partially guaranteed second year on that contract or third year or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't see him getting the kind of contract that he wants. But let's move on. Happy birthday to former Heat center Dexter Pittman, who turns 33 today. Pittman once started a finals game but hasn't played in the NBA since 2014. He's now playing professionally in Bahrain. David, do you remember Dexter Pittman?
Vaguely. I'm overstating things. Like he's I don't know, he never quite lived up to the expectations, but those were pretty low there. That it seems like almost an eternity ago when you were just looking for that center by committee approach in Miami during the Big Three era. He was just one of many alongside Joel Anthony, Eric Ooh, Dampier,
the captain,
yeah, Zydrunas Ilgauskas. I mean, there was a lot of guys who filled that center position. None as good as Chris Bosh, but it doesn't matter because he's not as good as Julius Randle anyway.
Get your spoon, pour your milk. It's time to decide what to watch tonight as we play Serial or not Serial. The surging Knicks go to San Antonio to play the Spurs tonight. That is a Serial game, right, David?
I have to agree. I can't believe we're saying this. Like the Spurs, maybe one of the low-key, one of the most boring teams of the last decade, despite their success. And the Knicks, well, they haven't been good in well over a couple decades. So, yes, to see them go and be at 500, like, I want to downplay it a little bit. Maybe they're not quite Cinnamon Toast Crunch levels of excellence, but at least they're good. But look, Knicks fans have to tone it down just a little bit. Like, you're above 500 for the first time in a decade. I get it. Fantastic. That's not really something to get all that excited about. Like, talk to me in a couple of months, and then you can be a little bit more excited about the upwards trajectory of this team. I'm still not even sure they're a playoff contender at this point, even though they're in the fourth seed in the Eastern Conference. That's not exactly saying much with teams like Toronto, Miami, and others, Boston especially, struggling so much early on in the season.
David, have appreciation for Knicks fans here. I mean, you're taking the milk out of their sails. This is a team that is above 500 after 35 games for just the third time in the past 20 years, Woo. The first time since 2013. It's the Knicks, David, and they are actually good, kind of. I mean, look, you're right. They're the fourth seed in the East at 18-17. That would be the ninth seed or something in the Western Conference, so context matters. They're only two games ahead of the 10th-seeded Pacers, who, as we heard from earlier, they are just a complete train wreck right now. And they have the third hardest remaining strength of schedule. So, you know, a little blip, right, in schedule, and they can just go tumbling down the standings. But Julius Randle is a legit all-star.
He is.
RJ Barrett looks better than he did in his second season. And Emmanuel Quickley looks legit as a rookie. Tom Thibodeau has them playing hard. That defense is really good. Look, I think today is just a happy day for the Knicks. They're not going to win the championship this year. They may not ever win a championship for the rest of the time that this world exists. But at least they're kind of good at this point in the year. And that's something to celebrate. And that's something to pour some cereal over about.
Hang up those banners in the Madison Square Garden. 18-17 at 35 games into the season. Put that James Dolan statue up in front of MSG. I think it's time.
That'll do it for us today. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On NBA wherever you listen to podcasts for 30 minutes of the NBA's top stories every day. We'll be here next Tuesday. In the meantime, you can find me over at Locked On Warriors and David at Locked On Heat. Thanks for listening.